speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
As we think in regard to fathers and Father's Day, today I tell you that I believe that one of the greatest blessings that we can have as men is to be able to find the right mate, the love of our life. Someone to be able to share our life with and to dream with. Someone to be able to go through life with and then to grow old with as we move forward in life. But you know, also, not only does God bless us in finding the right woman to be able to share our life with, to be able to find that right individual who loves God. To me, that is very important. Whenever we think in regard to finding a mate, we need to make certain that we are looking for, young men, you're looking for someone who not only believes in God, but someone who truly loves our God, and then also will love the church. Why is it important for them not only to love God, but also to love the church? The church is very important to our God. And it's so important that Christ died to establish the church. And young men, as you are looking for a mate for life, make certain that that individual loves our God, and then also that that individual would love the Lord's church. As we think about someone to spend our life with, we need to understand that we're looking for someone, and if you have someone, as I would count myself to have, someone who is committed to the relationship. I am truly blessed to be able to have my wife who certainly I'm able to dream with and to share life with, and someone who loves God and also loves the church, but I know that she is committed to me, and I know that I'm not alone. Many of you who are here today, you have a wife who also fits the criteria that I've laid forth. But you know, as we think about the commitment we have as a husband and wife together, that is to have and to rear children. Children are certainly an awesome experience in life. I've shared with you before the fact that whenever both of our children were born, that I counted this a great blessing in our life. Miranda's with us today, so I'm going to embarrass her a little bit and actually embarrass myself a little. Whenever Miranda was born, she was born on the 4th of July. So we call her our firecracker baby. So she's got a birthday coming up. And I remember when she was born, we were having a get-together. We were living in Indiana at the time. We were having a get-together over at our place. Some of the church family and also physical family was there. And I was out playing volleyball. And when Trent was born, it took about 13 and a half hours, as best I can remember, in labor. And I had this in my mind, is that whenever Dawn goes into labor, it's going to take forever. Well, I'm out playing volleyball and having a good time, and her sister comes out and says, "Kevin, Dawn is having some labor pains." And I said, "Well, that's okay." I said, "We've got a little while." And she says, "No, sis, I think you need to stop and to go now." And I said, "Oh, Trent was 13 and a half hours." Well, we had an hour to drive to get to the hospital. And I should have been thinking about that, but I was young, right? Well, in that, finally, her sister comes out about 10 minutes later and says, "Her contractions are really getting strong. We probably need to go." And so I did at that time, gathered everything up. We got in the car, and her sister went with us, and we left, and we're between Paoli and Orleans, which you go through Orleans in order to get to the doctor, to the hospital. And I'm speeding a little bit, I'll admit that today, and police officer pulls behind us and pulls us over, and he says, sir, do you realize that you're speeding? And I said, "Yes, officer, I do." And he just looks at me like, "You're admitting it." And I said, "My wife is pregnant, and she is going to deliver our child." And I said, "We've got to get to Bedford, to the doctor, to the hospital." And he says, he pokes his head in the window, looks beyond me, and he looks at Don, and he says, "Are you in labor?" And Don says, "Yes." He says, "Well, I will make sure that you have a clear passage all the way." So we get to the hospital and we go in and they take her back into the informal room and then finally back into the delivery room. And the doctor comes in real hurried like, and he sits down and sure enough delivers Miranda. And he stands, or just as he finishes, he says, "That was a first." And I look at him like, "I know that wasn't your first baby you delivered." He stands up and he's wet all the way around his bottom. And I'm like, "Oh my goodness." And he says, "I delivered her in my swim trunks." He says, "I didn't have time to change." That was our experience with Miranda. Having children is an awesome experience. Heart-touching moments to where when they say daddy or mama, whenever they say I love you, but also whenever they grow through life, it's a lifelong beautiful journey to be able to have children. And fathers, as we think in regard to the blessings we have as being able to be called a father or to be able to be counted as a dad, our Heavenly Father, through His Word, lays forth some principles, some requirements and commandments for us to consider. Those who are able to serve as fathers need to understand that our God commands us to love our family. It's interesting that today we would even have to say that. And I tell you that our Heavenly Father typifies what it really and truly means to love. The Scripture tells us that God is love, and therefore He is the epitome, He is the example of what true love is. Agape love is sacrificial, never-ending love, and that's certainly what we find as we would think about our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father expresses His love continually to us, and the way that He does that is through the Scripture, through the Old Testament Scripture. We are able to read about the love that God has for us. As we come into the New Testament Scripture, we find explicitly stated that our God loves us. But you know, also we understand God's love not only because He tells us, but also in the fact that God demonstrates His love continually. Take into consideration, God is always doing things for us. We pray to Him and He answers our prayers. That is an expression of God's love. Also, though, when we think in regard to our life here and the ways in which God operates providentially to provide for the essential things and even the things that bring our life comfort and joy and ease, this is a demonstration of the way in which our God loves us. But in an ultimate sense, we understand the way that God loves us in the fact that Jesus Christ gave His life at Calvary's cross, and He was sent into this world. Why? Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, John chapter 3 and verse 16. This morning I express to all of us who serve as fathers, as dads, that we ought to imitate the examples of our God. Serving God means obeying Him, putting Christ on in baptism, but then continuing to obey our God in all things. But as we think about it, as it relates to the love that God expresses and demonstrates toward us, we need to follow the example that God gives concerning the way in which He loves us and put that into practice, or make certain that it's always in practice as we would try to demonstrate our love for our family. I also believe with all of my heart that God has formed man with a need to be loved. It is innate. It's put into man. As you look to the time in which children are born into this world, they need the love of the mother and the father. And they will cry out for that love on a continual basis, even sometimes in the middle of the night. And we go and we console them, we comfort them, we give them what they need, and they understand that we love them. The same would be true then as they would move forward in life, as they would grow and mature, as they enter into their teenage years. They need to hear as well as to have a demonstration of ongoing love. And it doesn't stop whenever they leave the home. We need to continue to make certain that our families understand how much we love them, our children, even after they have gone on to have children of their own. Dads, we need to express our love on a daily basis. We need to make certain that we state our love and that we show our love. And sometimes that's hard for men to do. Why? Because they are from what we might identify as the old school, to where, you know, the man, he looks to life as being challenging, and he wants to put forth a hard hand, and he wants his children to understand that if they're going to survive, they've got to move forward, and therefore to express our love might seem a little awkward or uncomfortable for some, but yet at the same time, we shouldn't be like that. Our children need to know how much we love them, and we need to continually express and to demonstrate our love for them and to deal with them according to what is defined in Scripture that would be the characteristics of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and following. We need to be kind towards them. We need to be gentle. We need to be long-suffering. We need to bear in all things with them and to believe all things. And that does not mean that we're gullible, but rather that we would give them the benefit of the doubt. that whenever it comes to situations that we deal with them in, that they know that we love them and that we're going to deal fairly and honestly with them continually. So fathers, I know that you love your families, and I hope and pray that they know because you show them, but also because you will express to them on an ongoing basis. But the Bible also identifies for us is that fathers ought to lead their families. Our God has assigned men to be rulers in the home. And in that, being rulers in the home, what God is saying is that we are to be head of the house in a similar sense as what Christ is head over the church. Only we know that Christ is the ultimate authority whenever it would come to the church, whenever it comes to the world, and then whenever it would come to our homes. But when we think in regard to headship, what God is saying there is that men have the rule or the authority in the home to make certain that decisions are made that are going to be able to be beneficial for the husband and the wife, but also for all who are a part of or in the makeup of the family. And therefore, as decisions are made, then the guidance is given from the father to make certain that the families move forward so that they're not only able to function as a family, but that they're able to function amongst the society of which they would live in. But in a better sense, and in the ultimate sense, would be the way in which we would look at and view our God and His kingdom. To be honest, the children typically or generally will follow according to their rearing. Children are watchers or observers, and they will observe continually from the time in which they are small even until the time in which they've moved out and have a family on their own. And as they are watching, not only are they visually taking in what we are doing before them, they are always listening. Listening to what we say, that is the way in which we will conduct ourselves, and therefore, men, we need to make certain that we conduct ourselves according to godliness because of our relationship with God, but in like figure, because of the fact of our family. We need to make certain that we keep ourselves in check to the point to where we know that little ears or even growing ears are listening to the things that we are doing. Well, what will they do with the things that they see of us as they're watching us? What will they do with the things that they listen to, that they take in? They will act upon that. More times than not, they will follow according to the instructions that we have given them, even though that we may not think that we're communicating anything to them. As they're listening to us, they're going to take those things into their life. As they're watching us, those things will soon become characteristic as to who they are in their life. And fathers, you and I need to make certain that we show ourselves responsible. When it comes to obeying the laws of the land, we need to make certain that we're doing that. Why? Because whenever our children go, we want them to obey the laws of the land. We don't want to have to go and bail them out of jail. Amen? We want to make certain that they are complying with the law of the land. If we want them to comply, then we need to comply even all the way down to the speed limit. Things like that are important for us to understand. Also, though, whenever we think in regard to working, our children will sometimes follow our examples in regard to the way in which we work. And it is so important, very beneficial, essential for us to work around the house and to be productive citizens there for the sake of the family. But as we would engage in society, going out and earning our keep, our children do not need to hear us complaining about why and not complaining about our workplace, because the workplace is a blessing from God. It's a way in which God gives us to be able to provide for our family. And in that then, we need to make certain that we are expressing and demonstrating to our children that we are striving to be a productive citizen in society. But you know, also, we need to make certain that we are educating our children. And sending them off to school is very important. Every child deserves and needs an education. A high school education most certainly is vital today, but also we live in an age where furthering their education with college or a vo-tech career, things of that nature, will be very essential for them, and we need to encourage them. But today I tell you, as I would trust that each and every one of you already know, is that learning about our God is most important. We need to make certain that we bring them up in the nurturing and admonition of the Lord, that we instruct them continually, and that as we instruct them, that we share with them on a level that they're able to comprehend, that they're able to deal with. For instance, a little boy and his dad were driving down the road, and the little boy is eating an apple. And as he's eating the apple, the little boy is 4 years old. He takes a bite of the apple and he holds it in his hand for a little while, and he's making conversation with his father, and he takes another bite of the apple and he holds it in his hand for a while. Well, after a little while, the little boy looks back to the apple and the white is starting to turn a little brown on him. And he looks to his daddy and he says, "Daddy, why is my apple turning brown?" And the father, without thinking, said, "Well, son, whenever you eat the skin of the apple off, the meat of the apple becomes exposed to the air, and then it begins to oxidize, and the molecules begin to change, and therefore you have a change in the color." And the young four-year-old sits there for a few minutes, and he looks to his dad, and he says, "Are you talking to me?" We've got to make sure that as we communicate, we understand what it is that we're saying and who it is that we're saying things to, and especially whenever it comes to communicating our God's Word. We need to make sure that we express it in love as well as we express it in a way that they're going to be able to consume it and take it in, and that they will be able from that point then to see how important it is, not only to us, but how important God needs to be in their everyday walk of life. You know, also, though, fathers need to listen to their families. Everyone has a right to be heard. We live in a society today, in a world that says that we have the freedom of speech, and it saddens me to say that I think sometimes that that's under the gun. I wish that we would go back to the first principles, the godly principles of which this country was founded upon, but still we're blessed to be able to live in the land of the free, and everyone in society is able to express themselves verbally and even in other ways, whether we would agree with it or not, and it is very important for us to be able to express ourselves in society, in the workplace, but what about in the home? While we say, and it is true, the husband is the head of the house, that does not mean that he is the dictator of the house. It doesn't mean that he is always and only the one who has any input into anything. The wife needs to be able to speak in the home and to speak freely. And the husband needs to be able to allow his wife, if he loves her the way in which Christ loved the church, to be able to allow her to be to communicate and to be transparent. In like figure, the children need to be able to communicate in the home. Fathers ought to have a desire, a want, to listen to the things that their children and even their wife has to say. Why? Because they might have some very important questions. They may be dealing with something in life that's really causing them a challenge. And dads, we need to express to them, "Hey, you need to come to me, no matter what it is, no matter how embarrassing it is, no matter how tall or how difficult it seems, you need to be able to come to me and to talk with me." And we need to make certain that our children understand that those things that are important to them, that these things are also important to us, the questions they have and the input. We need to realize is that they sometimes are able to give valuable insight, input into our conversations and into our families. I couldn't tell you the number of times that Miranda and Trent and even our daughter-in-law, we value what she has to say. Amanda, how many times that they've been able to say things that's provoked thought into myself or Dawn and into situations that we've been dealing with. And fathers, we need to make certain that we want to listen to the things that our children and that our families bring to us. And if we don't listen to them, we know the world will, and Satan will use those things against us. And a true listener is one who pays close attention to the things that are being said. In this, we need to give them our time. Time is of essence. We live in a world where that we try to pack everything into and we run ourselves to death. We overschedule ourselves, and yes, to a degree it's necessary, but yet at the same time, we need to make certain that we give our families the time that they deserve as well as the time that they need, so that they can communicate with us. And as they are speaking to us, we need to focus upon what it is that they are saying. Listen intently to the things that they are saying. Sometimes, Dads, we can be guilty of listening in part. And what I mean by that is that they may be saying something that we don't necessarily like what it is that they're saying, and we're formulating our argument to come back with. And that's not what we need to do. They may be saying something about something that they're dealing with in life that really is not of much interest to us, but and at the same time, we're thinking about something else. And we need to give them full focus, full attention to show them that we truly have a sincere interest in what is going on with them and the thing that they're trying to express to us at that given time. And Dads, we also need to make certain that we always respond to the request that they have. And that response might be a yes. And the kids say, amen, preach it, Kevin. It might be that we say yes to them. It also might mean that we say no to them. They say, Kevin, you've gone too far. It might mean that we say, yes, I agree with what it is that you have to say. I'm going to let you go do this or that. Or it might mean, no, I don't agree with this or that. And whenever moms and dads say no, we say no not because we want to be hard, right? We say no because we've been there, done that, or we say no because we're seeing through things and maybe there's something better down the pike or down the road. Sometimes, though, we need to say maybe. And what that means is that I've taken into consideration exactly what it is that you've said to me, what it is that is important to you, and out of that then I'm going to give further consideration not only myself, but Mom and I are going to sit down and we're going to talk these things through. We're going to maybe talk to other parents if it's things that you're wanting to go do with others. We're going to take into consideration all of these things, but they need and deserve a response. And sometimes it will be not now. The situation's not right. We don't agree with all of the particulars. We need more information. Not now. We need to always make certain that we do respond either with a yes, a no, a maybe, or a not now, or maybe in other ways. And kids, whenever the parents say, do something, you also need to make certain that you're listening and that you will do exactly what they say to do. A 16-year-old boy got his driver's license. That's a big time for 16-year-olds, right? He got his driver's license and he went to his dad and he says, Dad, can I borrow the car? And his dad told him, he says, Son, he says, I think you are a responsible person and all, but at the same time, I want to put a challenge before you before I give over the keys to the car. He said, I want you to bring your grades up. The boy was a typical teenager. Whenever he came to school, he did what needed to be done to get by. And his father says, I know that you have it within you to do better. And he says, I want you to bring your grades up. And the boy said, okay, I can do that. He says, you come back to me in a month. And he says, I want your grades to be higher now. He says, also, though, I want you to read and to study the Bible more and to show a greater interest in our God and the church. He says, I know that you read some. He says, your knowledge of the Scripture is sufficient, but still at the same time, you can do better. And God is supposed to be about, or your life is supposed to be about God. And therefore, he says, in a month's time, I want you to show me that God is important to you. And the son says, okay, those two things, is that it? He says, no, one more thing, son. He says, I want you to get a haircut. Okay, Dad. So a month later, the son comes back to his dad. He says, Dad, he says, here's my report card. He says, as you can see, my grades have come up. And the dad says, son, you have done a wonderful job. He says, your grades have really come up. And he says, you've not only proven to me, but he says, I'm sure that you've proven to yourself that you can do so much better than status quo. And the son says, yes, Dad. He says, thank you for the challenge. He says, son, also, he says, I want you to know, he says, I've seen every night you're reading and studying your Bible. He says, every time that we go to church services, he says, I see you mixing and mingling with the people of the church and with the youth. He says, Mom and I are really pleased to see the way that things are going. And he says, son, that is wonderful. And the son says, can I have the keys to the car? And his dad says, well, son, wait a second. You've not cut your hair yet. And the son says, well, now, wait a second, Dad. He says, in reading of the Bible, he said, I saw where Samson had long hair. And he says, not only did Samson have long hair, he says, I've been reading from the commentaries, and it says the commentary said that it is likely that Moses had long hair. It is likely that the Apostle Paul would have had long hair. It's a good possibility that even Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, would have had long hair. And he says, "Dad, can I have the keys to the car?" And his dad looked at him in all seriousness, and he says, "Son," he says, "it may be true that those men had long hair, but those men also walked everywhere they went." When dads say something, we don't say it just to be saying something. We say something for the sake of we have reason behind it. And whenever it comes to us listening to our children, we need to listen to them. But in like figure, the children need so much to listen to the dad and listen to the parents because they're striving to lead according to the will of our God. Also, God identifies that fathers need to provide for the family. Providing for the family, I know, can be very difficult. Paying for school and all of the things that school has to offer. I know that it's very expensive just to pay the fees and to provide for the lunches and things of that nature. And as our kids grow, they grow sometimes, we feed them. And we say that they're growing like weeds. And that doesn't mean that they're no good. They grow like beautiful flowers, but they grow as fast as weeds. And it's all that we can do sometimes to keep them as they're growing into clothing. And that too can be very expensive. And then you factor in all of the recreational things. And kids need to have recreational things. And parents, we need to do what we can as we can, yet at the same time responsibly to provide for the recreation that they need. And in that, these things can be extremely challenging to be able to afford that and also to keep our commitments to the Lord in our giving. As we think about these things, most homes today have two incomes. And in that, as we think about two incomes and the mother working, is there anything wrong with mom working outside of the home? Not as long as she works in a job that is suitable for her. And what I mean by that is, according to her makeup, according to her abilities, as well as I would contend is that she needs to work in an environment that is honorable, in an environment that's not going to bring her down in an ungodly way, in an environment that's not going to pull her away from her relationship with her husband or her commitments to the home. She has things, responsibilities pertaining to the home as the husband does, and she needs, and he does, to make certain that as she is working outside the home, is that those commitments are continued to be kept. And God commands the father to provide for the home. You say, well, what does that mean? Here's what God says. Is that while it requires sometimes in our current economical situations for both to work, God still looks to the husband and says, you're responsible for that. If you take into consideration what is taught concerning the man that will not work, he says that neither should he eat. He doesn't say anything about the woman. Well, what's he saying? I think that God is saying the husband has a responsibility, first and above all, to provide for the family. Take into consideration also what is taught in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. If a man will not provide for his household, he's worse than an infidel. Again, if a man, aner in the Greek language, the male factor in the home, will not provide, he's held accountable for the state or the condition of that family. And fathers ought to labor in love. We ought to labor because of our love for God, but in like figure, we ought to labor because of the love that we have for our families, to make certain that our families have everything that they need in life, and then we also need to do what we can to supply for the things that might bring comfort even to their lives. But men, even with all of the things that we talked about this morning, the need for us to love our family, the need for us to lead our family, the responsibility we have to listen to our family and to labor for our family. Hear me on this. I want to make certain that as fathers, we live an exemplary life, a life that is an example before our families that is committed to our God. Fathers should aspire to live a godly life. God gives purpose to our life. That's not only true for fathers, but that's true for all of us. God gives purpose to our life and He brings purpose to our family even in bigger ways than if he's not a part of the equation. And as we think about this, in Christ, we will live not only to be a better father and a better husband, we will also live to be a better citizen in this world. We will live, if we are truly committed to God, a life that is centered in and around righteousness. To live according to righteousness, according to the righteous ways of God, and according to the high standards and holy ways of God. And therefore, that will make us an all-around better person and certainly a man that is committed to the family. How do we become that individual? Baptism into Christ begins that course. In Christ, we are cleansed of the old individual and we are raised from the watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life. But yet at the same time, men, fathers, husbands, it is so critical for us to make Christ-like choices every single day of our life. Well, what does that mean? We need to make certain that our walk is as the walk of Christ. That we follow in the steps of Christ each and every day of our time here and with our families. But also that we are building on the foundation of Christ. He is indeed the chief cornerstone for the church. And we understand and preach and teach that we need, we must, we've got to continue to build on Christ in the church. And we're going to continue to preach and teach that no matter what. But men, let's make certain that our homes are being built upon that same foundation. Upon Christ, each and every moment that we have with our families. And when we do, we can trust that not only will our life be right with Christ, but also that the family will win. And what I mean by that is whenever mom and dad both are committed to Christ, everyone comes out a winner. The children are reared in the ways of God. And whenever they're reared in the ways of God, with both mom and dad committed to that end, then their success, not only in this life, but their success and hope of an eternal life in heaven with God is much greater. This morning, dads, we want to say thank you for the wonderful job that you have done and that you will continue to do. Keep on keeping on with this great, awesome work of rearing your families in a way that will please God and that will connect them to life here also to be productive and pleasing to God. Well, the lesson has not been about becoming a Christian, but also about being a Christian in Christ as a father. We want to extend our Lord's invitation to those who are outside of Christ to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God and to submit themselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. If you're here this morning and you're erring in whatever way, we stand willing and ready to pray with you and for you that you might be able to be restored back to a faithful relationship with our God.